All right, we're on
Let's
draft
find
Nim Gimel tonight. Okay, let's go on Nim Gimel now, 53A.
Mr. Kovac.
We're bound, if you remember yesterday, we quoted from a Braisa. The Braisa mentioned two psukim to support the idea that you need to bring Malei Ashan. The Braisa said, this was around 8 lines from the top, that Kiba Anani Rela Kapore, with a cloud, I will appear on the kapora. The kapora is the covering of the aron. Yeah, I didn't mute you, but let me. I have to mute everybody. Okay, muted. Okay, so it says that in the title, if you're on the kapora, the teacher said he has to put Malei Ashan. In other words, when he adds this ingredient, Malei Ashan, that causes the kapora to go up like in a column and then spread over, you know, like a cloud in the Kodesh Kedashim. Then we said, then inexplicably, or we didn't understand it, the Bryce says, how do I know I put Malei Ashan? Gemara quotes another pasuk that the Anan HaKoret will cover the Kaporet, the cloud will cover the Kaporet. So then the Gemara says, and this is around 5 lines before it gets wide, we did this yesterday, and it's Gimel Medal, it's 53a, you mean you bring one pasuk to support another pasuk? So Amar of Yosef Pati Kamar. This is what it means. I only know if he brings the leaf. In other words, there's some plant that's called Malei Ashan. Malei Ashan means it causes a smoke to go up. So there's a plant that's called Malei Ashan. I only know the leaf of it that's used. It sounds like the leaf is the preferable part to be used. Ikar Malei Ashan Minayin. How do I know that I can use the root of the Malei Ashan? In other words, the pasuk is intimating that there are two things you can use for Malei Ashan, either the leaf or the root. So Amalei Abaye about Ipatanya. So Abaye says Rav Yosef, but we learned I'm on Nun Gilmud Aleph, 2 lines above where it gets wide. So the Gemara says Amalei Abaye about Ipatanya. But Abaye says we learned just punkpaker from the Braisa. The Tanya, we learned the Braisa, that Tanba Ikar Malei Ashan, that he would put, in other words, the Bryce is saying, this is the way the Avodah was done. He would put the root of the Malei Ashan. He says, hey, I'm a Tamir Ba'olek Makel, and would go up like a rod, and would go up like a column. Ash Magil Shmei Korah, until it got to the beams above. He says, Kevin Shmei Korah, when it gets to the beams, it's the roof beams, the Mashmei Shmei Oreid Bekotlim, it would slowly go down on the walls, Ash Malei Abayit Ashan. So the whole structure was filled with smoke. But the point being that from this braisa, it sounds like the root is the more preferable one. From the way that Rav Yosef was explaining before, it sounded the leaf was the more preferable one, and the add-on was the root. So Elamar Abaye Hashi Kamar. So Abaye says, this is what was meant. From the first pasuk, I would only know the root. The root is the best Malei Ashan. Alei Malei Ashan. How do I know the leaf is good? So it says Vachisa. Okay, let me get the psukim open. Finish. In Afri mode. Okay, thank you. All right. So we're good. Okay. So we darshened. We were darshing two psukim, right? One was in Pasuk Beis, right? Kibanani Rela Kaporet, and the other was in Pasuk Yod Gimel, right, that it says V'chisan Anak Tzoret. Okay, so we have the first Hezber to explain this apparent redundancy in the Pesukim. All right, let's go further. By the way, there's a Rashi here, I just want to do it. Looks like I thought it was interesting. If you look at the 15th hour line in the Rashi, it says V'mashreish V'talim, the smoke would slowly go down the walls. King Dera Hashan, Rashi says that's the way in nature that smoke works. When it can't go anywhere else, it always goes upwards. So like it fills the whole space from wall to wall. Then when there's no more space, it starts to be going back down. It's interesting, you know, with smoke. All right, let me just get the picture book out open as well. And we're very fortunate we have these picture books. This is on Nun Gimel Mod Aleph, right? All right. Yeah. So here we have a nice picture of the turret going up. All right. Here I'll just show it here. I don't know if you can see it, but Can you see a little bit, Fern? Can you see that?
Yes, a little bit. Okay. Yes. Right. Thank you.
All right. And you can see it too. All right. Let's see further back in the Gemara. Okay, I'm on the third wide line. On Nun Gilman Al 53A, third wide line. Okay. Rav Sheshet Amar, Eli Al Olmoish Bidbar. Rav Sheshet says that I only know that I need, again, there's a different explanation why I need two psukim. So Rav Sheshet says from the first pasuk, Kibanan Eirael HaKaporet, I only know in the Olmoish in the Midbar. He says, Shiloh Bid Olmiminayim. How do I know that when the Mishkan was in the Shiloh or the Beis HaMikdash was, you know, in Yerushalayim, how do I know that I need Baalei Hashem then? Kamalomar v'chisa. So the second one saying v'chisa. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Hi, mi b'chein yasal liomoy na shapini tam nafka." The Gemara says, "No, I don't need that pasuk to teach me. It's in the Beis HaMikdash because it's the pasuk that says b'chein yasal liomoy na shapini tam b'tok tumo tam." And Rashi learns. Let's see the Rashi. "Hi, mi b'chein yasal liomoy na shapini tam nafka." And I'm a kom she shochni itam yasukein. You do the same procedure wherever my shechina is. So I know that already. I don't need that. Elahak kamar. This is what preparation then. Ainly labiyom kippurim. I only know that I need mali hashan on yom kippur. B'shar yimod hashana minayin. How do I know b'shar yimod hashana, which would mean other days during the year when you're offering Torah? That would be the simple shot. You could say, like we learned already from the Gra, based on the Drashim, the Gra held that Aaron could enter the Kodesh Kadashim whenever he would say to Ravoda. So if you say it that way, that would be another potential shot. But the simple shot is that how do I know that all the other days of the year you need the Mali Hashan? Tamalomar b'chisa. Ravash, so that's another explanation, okay? So we had one explanation is the root and the leaf. That was the bayang. Then we had Rav Sheshet is Yom Kippur and Shemar Yom Hashana. Now the third explanation is Ravashi. Ravash. Every day, right? That's a simple thought. I was saying that you could say like within the Gra, it means like when Aaron and Kohen is entering the other days during the year. That would be another potential shot, right? Right, but that's what the Gra says. The Gra says that
Aaron. The Gra said you could go in any time.
No. If he does the Seder Avodah, he's only Avodah El Kodesh. Okay, so the Gemara says Ravashi Amar, Chad L'Mitzvah V'Chad L'Akeh. Ravashi says one pasuk teaches me it's a mitzvah. L'Chachila I should have Mali Hashan. The second pasuk is saying it's the Ikuv. If I don't have it, so it's like I didn't bring it. So then there was Shana L'Avakuv L'Akeh. And then the fourth explanation, Rava Amar Chad Onish V'Chad La'Azhara. Rava says one pasuk is to teach me the punishment. You know that you'll suffer death. Now, let me just do this inside here. And one is the Azhara. So the pasuk that says Kibanan Eirael HaKaporet, that's going to be the Azhara. That's pasuk Beis. And then in pasuk Yud Gimel, it says he put the Torah and the Torah will cover everything. Below Yamut, and he won't die. All right. Now it says below Yamut twice, but we'll see. Like the Gemara is going to explain that. Right. The Gemara is going to explain that where Rashi will explain that the first Lo Yamut is an Azhara for Birei Kanit. In other words, if he's not allowed to just go in for any reason at all. So it says in Pasuk Beis, Al Yabo B'Cholei LaKodesh. He can't enter the Kodesh Kodesh wherever he wants to below Yamut. In other words, if he does do that, then he gets Misa for that. Then the other Azhara is Ki Benani Rela Kaporet. In other words, I have to be in this cloud. You need the Mali Hashan. That's the Azhara. Do Mali Hashan. Then a Pasuk Yud Gimel. If you don't do Mali Hashan, you're Chayv Misa Bidei Shemayim. That's the thrust, the way the Gemara is going to explain. So see back in the Gemara. And again, the cloud is, it means both on an individual level and on a gross level. The Torah Ein Onshin El Kein Mazhirin. In other words, you have to have an Azhara. The Torah says, don't do A. And it says, no, possibly, if you do A, you get B, you get this onus. And on an individual level, if you know somebody gives an azhara to somebody, and then he tells them that he gets punished, whatever, for it. Okay. So in other words, I know I didn't say right. In other words, we don't the best thing doesn't punish somebody unless without a warning. And I remember there's a fellow Rabbi Asher Leshem used to study in the Beis Medrash. He was going over that with me once. All right. Anyway, let's see back in the Gemara. So Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, yeah. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Chava Onesh V'Chava Azhara. So one Pasuk is teaching me the punishment, that's Pasuk Yud Gimel, and one is teaching me the Azhara, and that's don't do it unless you can't offer the Torah unless you have the Baal Yashan. Then I would bring a Braisa to corroborate Rav's opinion. Rav said that, and the Braisa is going to, you know, shore him up. Tani, we learned the Braisa, Rav Lez Omer, V'lo Yamut Onesh. That's Lo Yamut, but it means in Pasuk Yud Gimel. You know, put add the Baal Yashan, don't die. Kibanani Ra'e Azhara. That's the Azhara. Yechol Yushneim Amurin Kodam Mitat Bnei Aharon. I might have thought that both the warning and the punishment was given before the death of the two sons of Aharon. Now we know that Aharon's sons died, and they did an Aveira, and there's a whole machlokes among the portion what the Aveira was, but I would have thought that both were given before the death of Aharon's sons. Tamalomar Achrei Moshnei Bnei Aharon. So it says Hashem was speaking to Moshe, and he says, "Daber l'Anochicha, Adavid Rishon Moshe, Acharei Moshe Shnei Bnei Aharon." He tells me after that. So Yechol Yushnei Amur Machar Mitat Shnei Bnei Aharon. So then I would think that both the Azhara and the Onesh were given over after the death of two sons of Aharon. Tamal Omar Kibanani Reel HaKaporet. So it says Kibanani Reel HaKaporet, meaning that Hashem is saying that I will appear in Anan Me'al HaKaporet. But I have not yet appeared that way. But before the death of the two sons of Aharon, it did appear that way. Like he said, Rashi brings it down. So Rashi says, it's going to come out. It says, by Yitzuvay Barhud Am, by Yirach Vod Hashem al Kol Ha'am. The Vod Hashem appeared to everybody. So he had appeared in Anan. So HaKetzad, so how do I reconcile all the Sukkim? Azhara Kodamita, they got the admonishment, you know, not to go in unless you have the Baal Yashan before the death, but onesh afar mita, and the death and the punishment afterwards. Now, the Gemara says, my Talmud, so I explained this based on what the Gemara is going to explain now. That was the Braisa, but the Gemara says, what's the limud that the Azhar was before the death? Amar Rava, Amar Kra, Kibanani Ra'eh, Badain Lo Nira. That in the Pasuk, he says, Hashem says, I will appear in a cloud. But then before they die, he does appear. It says, by Yirach Vod Hashem al Kol Ha'am. V'yelamai tam yanish. So that's the case. So they only got the Azhara before they did whatever they did. So why were they punished? There was Gemara thought maybe they didn't bring Ma'al Yashan. Why were they punished? Titania, Reb Lezer Omer, Lomait Bnei Aharon, El Shahuru Halacha B'Nei Moshe Rabban. That they died because they were Mora Halacha B'Nei Moshe Rabban. In other words, make halakhic ruling, even if the halakhic ruling is correct, it's considered a lack of, you know, proper kavod and derech eretz to make a hora'ah in the presence of your Rebbe. This is my darish. What do they darish? They're not new B'nai Aron HaKohen, Eishal Mizbeach. The Pasuk says the B'nai Aron HaKohen will apply fire to Mizbeach. So he said, and this is correct, Alf Pisha Eishal Rebbe Shemayim, Mitzvah Labim Ahed Yod. Even though there's fire coming from the heavens, we still have to add earthly fire to it. So that was a correct exposition, but they were more halach than Moshe Rabban. So this Gemara learns that's why they died. There's many Mamre Chazal why they died, but that's what this Gemara has. Okay, so again, we were talking about the Baal Yashan, this figure. So we think it's nothing to do with that. It has to do with more halach than Moshe Rabban. So would it need to be the Shemayim? So in other words, we say like in Omshin and Kinlas Hirin, it would. Well, I guess. You're right. When it's Mora Halach, so I don't know where the Azhar and the Misa is, but there. This is. I don't know how to answer that. In other words, like if you're doing like Torah says, "Ein onshin l'kein mazhirin," so the Torah wouldn't unless it gave you a warning for it. So Mora Halacha b'nei Moshe, Mora Halacha b'nei Rabbo, is chayv misa, because I'll teach us. So I have to look into a little bit more. Okay, all right. Now let's see further in the Gemara. All right. Any questions on what we did so far? Everybody good? So we had four ways to explain the repetition of Sukkim. All right, let's go further. So we're around 10 lines from the bottom on Gimel 53a, 10 lines from the bottom. So he says, Yatzah Balu Derek Nisato. We said that the Kohen Gadol when he leaves the Kodesh Kodashim, he doesn't like turn around on his heels and leave. He backs out. In other words, so like it's like watching a film in reverse. He backs out, you know, walking. So the Gemara says, where do we know this halacha that the Kohen doesn't turn his back and walk out? He's got to like back out. So he says, "I'm Rav Shlomo Bar Nachmanim, Rav Yonatan, I'm a Karam, by Avos Shlomo the Bama Shabbi Gibboni Yerushalayim." That Shlomo, now this is talking about before the building of the Beis Hamikdash. So they had a Bama, they had a Mizbeach in Gibbon, and the Aaron was in Yerushalayim, and Shlomo was the king, and he goes to Gibbon to offer korbanot, and then he goes back to Yerushalayim. So he goes from Yerushalayim to Gibbon, and then from Gibbon to Yerushalayim. But the pasuk says, "By Avos Shlomo the Bama Shabbi Gibboni Yerushalayim." It's hard to understand it. He came to the Bama Shabbi Gibboni Yerushalayim. He said, "Should I say he by Avos Shlomo the Bama Shabbi Gibboni Yerushalayim?" He left Yerushalayim to go to there, or you know, he left by Yitzayim, you know, Gibboni Yerushalayim. Anyway, so the Gemara says, "V'chiman in Gibboni to Yerushalayim." Why are they both placed together? Elamaki Shetia Tomi Gibboni. Yerushalayim, that Pasuk wants to create a compare, you know, the exodus or the departure from Gibbon to Yerushalayim would be Atom Yerushalayim to Gibbon, to his coming. So he makes one trip from Yerushalayim to Gibbon, another trip from Gibbon back to Yerushalayim. The Gemara wants us to like compare both of them or that they're both sort of like on the same level. Mabi Atom Yerushalayim to Gibbon, Panav Kalabi Bama, just like when he went from Yerushalayim to Gibbon. So he's facing the Bama, like you face the destination. That's when you're coming. So when he left Gibbon, he was still facing the Bama. I saw one of the far. Okay. Here's a two. Okay, everybody, just be calm. Okay, just wait a minute. So I saw one of the farshim saying it doesn't mean that he traveled the whole way from Gibbon to Yerushalayim that way, but it means like let's say you'd be here in the shul. He would you know back walk like this. All right, now let's take a look back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, he says, "V'chein konim b'avodatam v'im b'duchanam v'yisro b'mamadan." And similarly, konim who are doing the avodah in the base of Mikdash, and levim who are on the platform, they're singing Yisrael b'mamadan. In Yisrael, we know that there's a contingent of Yisrael who are in the base of Mikdash to be near the korban tamid to represent the whole kahal. He says, "Shein nistarin." When they leave the base to Mikdash, lo yimatsim pnei v'holkim. They didn't turn around their heels and leave. Elamitzadvin pnei v'holkim. They would like turn sideways. It means they didn't even necessarily back. They didn't back up necessarily 180 degrees, but they were like, "See where you're going." They were like sideways. That's the way this is saying. Now, and I mean, I'm sort of bugging Yosef. Give me chelak aleph and mishnah berurah. Give me the blue volume if you would on second. From the bottom on the right. Okay. Thank you so much, Aleph. Okay. So he says, "V'chein," thank you so much. Thank you very much. "V'chein Talmud anitar me'rabo le'asir panav yele." And similarly, when a Talmud takes leave of his Rebbe, he shouldn't turn his back to the Rebbe. He should back out. He says, "El mitzadi panav hold it." He's turned sideways. Now, you know, I'll mention, I heard this story from, it was on a recording, but I heard from, Baruch Pesach Mendelssohn, who was somebody I know, he said, I think about Rav Yitzchak Huttner, that I told this once, that he had in his room, like he would see Talmidim, and he was Rosh Shiva Chaim Berlin, and the Talmud would come in and he would speak to him, and then he had like this button on his desk, and the button controlled the lock to the door. So the Talmud got up and showed his back to him, the Talmud couldn't open the door. The door wouldn't open until he pressed that button. when the Talmud would leave correctly, then he press and let it go. He wanted to teach them like with the proper derech eretz with the rabbi. So he says here, he had okay. Let's stop it. Okay. So 5 points at the bottom. He had Reb Lazar, like Reb Lazar, he had a miftar minei Reb Yochanan. When he would take leave of Reb Yochanan, it means either Reb Yochanan would take leave of him or he would take leave of Reb Yochanan. That have a by Rabbi Yochanan said, when Rabbi Yochanan would want to leave, have a gotten toy Rabbi Lazar Duchte, Rabbi Yochanan Minei. He would stand in his place and bow down, so Rabbi Yochanan would like be gone. Because have a by Rabbi Lazar said, and Rabbi Lazar wanted to leave, but Rabbi Yochanan, have a ka'azila akore, he would back up at the Machasi Minei the Rabbi Yochanan, till he would be like out of his vision. Rava can have a miftar minid Rav Yosef. Rava, when he would take leave Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef was blind, he says, Hava azila kore, he would walk backwards, the menachem kore, mitvasan askuk, to be Rav Yosef dema, till his feet would be like cut, like he couldn't see where he was going, so he would cut his feet, and there would be blood on the threshold of Rav Yosef. In other words, he's walking backwards, he can't see where he's going. So they say that this was like a Midas Chassidus of him. He didn't have to do quite that much. Like he could have been Mitzadeh, but he wanted to go above the thing. So he said, "What that they talk right." They talk about that, and that adds to the equation. So turn the page. So on the top line in Gimel Beis 53b, the top line. So Amr Lila Rav Yosef Pachi Avid Rava. So the people told Rav Yosef, this is what Rava is doing. So he says, Amr Lay, hey Rava, the Tarum Reshech Akulik Bracha. He says, may it be the Rasan Hashem that your means like your position be raised on the whole city. So they saying that means Abayi and Rava each had a yeshiva, I saw, and that Rava should like rule both. So Abayi eventually passed away, and Rava indeed, he, predominated over both yeshivas. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anyway, that we got from you, Fern? What's up?
How come Friday nights we do Boikala, and we really turn our backs to the Aron? There's no disputing that.
Right. So first of all, we're turning around to welcome like the presence of Hashem in essence. So it's really the Kvod Hashem that we're doing it. But besides that, like they say, the Aaron is in a separate rishus. Like the rabbi gives a drasha, his back is to the Aaron. So, and the key with the Aaron is that it has the Sefer Torah in it. So he says it's a separate rishus. It's a separate entity, and it's sealed off. That's a simple shot.
And yet, right? You see people who are up at the Aaron, they when they take the stairs down, they're backing out.
Right. So, all right, I don't know more to say. Adapting or adopting?
Adapting. In a game, that's, if you don't want, you can go back. It's dangerous.
Yeah, I would say like this, Vern. I would say like where there's a need, in other words, like there's no way to turn around without facing your back to the Aron. There's no way to give a drasha unless your back is to the Aron. But where you don't have something to, pulling you in that direction, it's nice to back up. That's what I would say.
The Chagodi was written 200 years ago.
Or 400 years ago. Okay.
Yes.
So, how does that...
It became like all the movements and
yeah.
Bowing and all this, like the after El Kapes.
All right. Rob Shlomo Alpha. All right. Anyway, so it means that's a halakha. Mitzad Adin, he's allowed to turn his back to the Aron. That's the answer. Okay. So as to what? All right. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. All right. Now, we're on the second line. On the Gilman Bays, 53b, line 2. So I'm Alexandri, I'm Rishab and Levi, I'm a pastor of Sishlash Sealed Lacharav, the Harkat Yitin Shalom. When a person davens, and Mipala means davening from Esrei, and when he gets the conclusion from Esrei, he has to take 3 steps back, but a Harkat Yitin Shalom, he gives Shalom. So one shot in Yitin Shalom, mean he should bow. Like that's like a figurative Shalom. That's one way to say it. Or the other way would be to say that he'll say like saying shalom to like taking leave of the person. So we do say oseh shalom b'romav, but that's not really saying shalom to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's the one who makes shalom, who is shalom later, who should make shalom on us. But I saw one shot that when we do the right things, then the shalom down here, so that then the cause is to be shalom in Shemayim. That would be another way to learn it. Okay, so let's take a look back on the Gemara. So in Paul's Mishnah, shalom to the Akhurav, Akharkin shalom. I'm Rav Mordechai. Came on Shabbos. Such as sealed lacharav. How can he buy the meikam? So Mordechai says that once a person has taken 3 steps back, he needs to say in that spot a bit. says, Mashal Tamid Niftar Me Rabo. In other words, he shouldn't take three steps back, walk back three steps right away. Like, three steps back, three steps forward. That's what you shouldn't do. You should stick around. I think they say at least stay Hilo Farba Amot. You should say at least, I mean, there's more to explain. They say that what they really say is that at Shacharis, you should take three steps back, ideally speaking, and wait there until Kedusha. And then at Kedusha, you take three steps forward. That's ideally speaking. And then and then same thing at Mincha. And then at Mariv, you should really wait until the Kaddish, until the either, according to Moshe, the conclusion of the Kaddish. And I saw in the name of the Rav that he held that once done, he went by Alma, that's also sufficient. But that's the ideal method. Okay, so now the Gemara says, this is Mashal Talmud and Iftar Me Rabo. It's like a Talmud taking leave of his Rebbe. Im Choser La Alter. If he goes back right away, he says, Dome Kills La Kelish Shav Al Tio. He's like a dog going back on his like vomit. So it means that, there's different shots on this, but one shot that I saw is like when a Kelim, like if the dog vomits up, so he's doing something that's required, like in other words, so it's understood, and then he withdraws from it. But if he goes back and eats the vomit, he's just doing like the disgusting thing. In other words, even the vomiting was disgusting. The whole thing was nothing to do with health. The whole thing is disgusting. So the same thing here. If the Talmud walks back right away, if the person walks back right away from his tefillah, it's like all of his like formalities are for naught. Because it looks like he didn't intend to do it as a form of taking leave of anything. He's just, you know, going through the whole road. So Tani Nami Hachin, I'm a pal Sriya Shosh Psiul Akarav. We learned the Bryce says that a person davens, he has to take three steps back, but Harchat Kitin Shalom. And then just to go over again, when you take three steps back, so first you move your left foot like a half step, then you move your right foot a whole step, and then the left step, you know, even it up. There's more than one, there's different shitot how to take the three steps back, but the mainstream thinking is like this. In other words, if you're davening, so you take like it's goes to like, you know, then I didn't say right. Let me go again. I didn't say right. You take one step back, then a second step back, and then the third step evens up with the right leg. Okay? So it's left foot back a whole step, right foot back a whole step, left foot back a half step. That's the way to take three steps back. So then he says, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, shalom would mean like the way I was explained, then bow. If he doesn't do that, it's like Rui that he didn't daven at all. When we shum shmai or Rav Shmai Amru, Shnotain Shalom Liamin, he says he gives shalom means he would bow to the right, we'll explain in a minute, but Kharkach was small. Shinemar, Mimino Eshdat Lamo, to his right, on Kadosh Baruch Hu's right, is the Torah. In other words, he's holding the Torah in his right. In other words, the right has primacy. But Omer, and another pasuk says, he says, Yipol Mitzincha Elef, on your side will fall 1,000 of your enemies, Urvava Minecha, 10,000 on your right. So Maiva Omer, why do we need the second pasuk? We're trying to prove that the right is deserving of primacy. From the first pasuk, I would just say, like, people naturally take things in the right. That's, you know, Yishtat Lamo. Tashmaim posa elef uvav minecha. Second pasuk says not just that it's like people do that; it means that there's like something positive that comes from doing in the right. It's much more favorable in the right. Rava chazil abaye diyach shlama liyamina bereisha. Rava observed abaye that he gave shalom. That's like he's bowing to his right side first. I'm gonna let me sabr liyamina dach. Well, dach kamina. Did you think that I meant your right? I meant your left. To have Yamin or Shil Kaddish Baruch Hu. Your left is the right of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So Amar Rav Chiya Bereza Rav Huna Chazilu Abay Barava the Pasuk Bushlosh Pesiyot B'Kriya Akad. So I serve Abay Barava taking three Pesiyot with one Kriya. So the basic idea is saying like this, that I'll read from the Chaber and we'll join us with the Gemara. This is in Siman Kuf Kaf Gimel. He says, Koreum Posea Shlosh Pesiyot L'Akra B'Kriya Akad. That you bow down and take three steps back. We went through the three steps already. B'Har Shepasa Shlosh Pesiyot B'Odo Korea. And when after he's taken three steps, while he's still bowing down, kodem shiisko, before he stands erect, shomar oseh shalom rav hofech panav letzad smolo. So you turn to your face to the left and say oseh shalom rav, Then you bow down like a servant taking leave of his rabbi. And then the Mishnah Berurah brings down, one second, where is it? Yeah. So Mishnah Berurah says, the chayna din bo se shalom bekadesh. The same thing that he says, with lo kotan shomer mo se shalom bo shepos him. Not like, it's not correct to say, oh, so shalom, while you're still taking the steps. They not chalos, okay. In other words, you take the steps, then you say, oh, so shalom. He says, and then he says, 1 minute, v'chena din bo se shalom dekadosh. And the same thing by the oh, se shalom dekadosh. The, 1 second. All right. Okay. All right. Oh, one more thing. Now, we say v'yemru amen. We're davening tefillah b'lachash. We say shalom avos shalom kusel v'yemru amen. But you're saying quietly. So who's v'yemru amen to? V'yemru amen say amen. So who's saying v'yemru amen to? So he says here that v'yemru, the Magen Avraham explains the kavan is for the malachim that are to you with you every day. The shomro v'yemru amen is really addressed to the malachim, to the angels. They're not to anybody else. Because there's nobody else who hears what you're saying. Okay. All right. Who's the question, Thomas? What's anything we did? Yeah, what's up, Fern?
Well, I learned that when you go back at the end of Shmon Esrei, you start going back with your right foot because you're leaving the malchut, and that's a sign of respect. No, so it's right, left, right.
Well, that's not the way the post can bring it down, so I don't know what to say. They say, 1 second.
When you go back in the beginning, okay, you start with the left. When you go back at the end, you start with the right. That's how I learned it.
No, all right, 1 second. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah has to say.
Thank
you. He says, 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't
want
to go back.
Yeah. 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. Okay. Here, Fern, you listening? Fern?
Yes, I muted myself.
Okay, so here I'm reading from the Mechaber. This is Siman Kufchav Gimel Siv Gimel. Sheposea, when a person takes the steps, Oker Regel Smol Tchila. You move your left foot first. You hear that?
Is that the psiot at the end or the beginning?
No, it's talking about the psiot at the end. That's what the ones at the end. That's what it's saying. He says, so the Mishnah Berurah says, the Mistama Oker Inish Kar Diamina Bresha, the natural way for a person to move right foot first. So here you do the left foot, but I'm at home, to show that it's like difficult for you to take leave of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah, the Mechaber and the Mishnah Berurah say. Okay, I got to move on.
I was just going to say the three steps, why not four steps, why not five steps, why not one step? So I saw three times it says, by Vigash Yehuda, it's a Lashon Fin Tefillah. That there was three times the Vakeach brings it down. That's why you take three steps. Yeah.
I think the simple pshat, there could be different reasons that are given, but I think the simple pshat, they say there were three steps that Nebuchadnezzar took. He was running to do like a... Let me move on. Okay, we have to keep moving up. Please forgive me. Okay, so around the 10th wide line on Gimel and Beis, 53B, please everybody mute themselves, okay? So when Paleo Tefillah Kser B'Beit HaKitzon, he said the Kohen Gadol, he damages a short tefillah B'Beit HaKitzon, it means in the Heichal, he's still in this structure where nobody's there. So my mitzale, so in other words, he left the Kodesh Kedashim, now he's in the Kodesh, and he says the tefillah Ksara when he leaves the Kodesh Kedashim. This is my mitzale, what does he daven? Rav Bar Ravada, Ravin Bar Ravada, it sounds like two brothers, Rav Mishmei the Rav, Amri, both of them in the name of Rav, say, Yiratzom Mifunach HaShem Elkeinu, that may it be your will, Hashem, that this year should be a rainy year and a hot year. Shum is rainy, shkun is hot. So the Gemara interjects, shkunah mal yutahi, you mean hot is something good? Ela ema, the way we should understand the braisa is, in shkunah take shuma. If it's already been decreed it should be a hot year, it should be a rainy year, because you need to get the water if it's hot. Rav Acha bar Rava, Messiah bar Mishmeiz Rav Yehuda. Rav Acha, son of Rava, said that the tefillah concluded in the name of Rav Yehuda. Lo yade avid shultan mid Beit Yehuda, that let the rulership not leave Beit Yehuda. Now this part, there's a whole tumult, and they have this in the Aladaf. I meant to bring somebody else with me today, I've got, but why is this in Aramaic? Usually things are not in Aramaic. So there's a whole shakla v'tari about this, but one explanation why it's in Aramaic is because it's based on a pasuk, lo yasur shevet Yehuda, let the scepter not leave Yehuda. You're not allowed to say psukim by heart. So you would say in Aramaic, that's one hezber, or in the other hezberim that you don't have things in Aramaic, that's only if you're not betzibur, he's davening like the tefillah for the tzibur, or not in the base of Hamikdash, where the Shekhinah is, you could do it in Aramaic. And then he may have done this in Hebrew, though. It says, lo yadid avid shultam mivet Yehuda, lo yu'am cha Yisrael shrikha lefarni semizeh, that your nation should not need to support one another. It means that people shouldn't be poor. And you shouldn't hear the tefillah of the wayfarers. Now the Gemara explains. There's a similar, an incident that sheds light on this. Reb Chanina ben Dosa, we know, is mentioned many places in Shas, and he did all these miraculous things. He says, he was traveling on the way. It began to rain on him. The whole world is benachat. They're happy with the rain, and I'm in distress. So pasach mitra, the rain stopped. In other words, he had an effect with feeling, and the rain stopped. Now, some ask, how could he have prayed like he wasn't concerned for the whole world? So some say, his intent was he didn't have a raincoat. His intent was like Hashem should, cause him to get something to protect himself from the elements. But Kadosh Baruch Hu was so susceptible to his tefillah, like the rain stopped. He says, Ki at levete, when he got home, Amar Ribonoshlam Kulam Kul Betzar V'Chani Benachat, now everybody's in distress. There are farmers and rain, and I'm in comfort. The rain came. So the Gemara wants to say, the Kohen Gadol is praying that there should be a rain a year, but you shouldn't hear the Obrei Drachim. They're praying that they don't want rain because they're the ones traveling by the roads all the time. So Amar Rav Yosef, Maya Hani Leislut Kohen Gadol Gabi Rav Chanina Ben Dosa. So Rav Yosef says, what does the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol help if you have this Rav Chanina Ben Dosa there? It's everything's for naught. Okay, now Tana Rabbanan, we learned the Brisa. Masav Kohen Gadol Achad Shirech Tefilato. There was one Kohen Gadol. The Mishnah says the davening is a short tefillah. You shouldn't scare everybody. This Kohen Gadol was davening a long tefillah, and the article said it was Shimon HaTzadik. The Nimnu Achav Kohenim Litanesach Rav. So his brethren Kohen decided to go back in. He'd say, "How can you go in?" It says nobody should be in there, but they thought Rachman HaTzadik is dead or in a medical emergency, whatever. He says Hechilu Him Nechlas, and they began to enter. Who Yotzei was leaving? Amru Lo Benema Herach Betilatzav. How come you take it so long? So Amar Lahem, you have difficulty? I was praying for all of you, and the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. What's wrong if I take a long time? Amru Lo, Alti Ragila Sotkin. You shouldn't accustom yourself to do that. Shrei Shaninu, because we learn Lo Yamarach B'Tefilato K'deish Lo Avid Yisrael. We learn from Mishnah that he wouldn't take a long tefillah. So the Maritz Chayis is interesting. On this line, they mentioned the article. The Maritz Chayis says, you see from here that the Mishnayot were in some form before Rebbe edited them. Because this is relating to incidents that took place before the Chor Beis HaMikdash. And here, in the discussion, they're quoting a line from the Mishnah. So you see that it existed in some form. And then they also mentioned here in the article, and this relates to what Michael was talking about yesterday. They had, where is it? Yeah, they quote, they say that, they said, it says the Rambam says there were many Kohen Gadol who died in the Kodesh Kedashim because they were unacceptable as Kohen Gadol because they made a change from the Avoda. Zohar states a golden rope was tied around the Kohen Gadol's leg so that if he died, they would be able to pull him out with it. And then he says, apparently there was no rope tied to the Kohen Gadol mentioned in this Brisa since they had to enter after him to determine if he had died. And then they said, what do you mean? He walked in with his feet. What do you mean?
They
were going in between because they said they thought it was like a medical or something like that, Hatzalah. So they said the Rishami identifies Kohen Gadol. So Rishami identifies Kohen Gadol Shimon HaTzadik served for 40 years. So that's it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, and anything we did so far? Everybody good?
This was the year that you said he'd be like he was going to die?
No, I don't. Not necessarily. I don't know if that was that year. But all right, now let's take a look further in the Gemara. Okay, there's no questions.
So you look at sorrow to avoid tirchus d'kisuvim. That's the message that I get out of this. The Kohen Gadol gave a look at sorrow at the most propitious time and moment in the history of the year, and at the most holy moment.
Yeah, I assume it's because. Like all these Kohanim, it's tricky. There was a lot of Kohanim going with dying by chain. So it could be because of that situation, he doesn't want people to get nervous, you know, like that, yeah. Scare them, which indeed is what happened with this incident. But I'm thinking maybe if things weren't so bad, maybe it would be, you know, where that wouldn't be a concern. Maybe they're all getting scared because people were dying left and right. We got the golden rope around them. But this one didn't have a golden rope, but in general, golden rope. But all right, let's see, compare them in the Gemara. Okay, so this is 10 lines above where it gets very wide on Gimel Beis. Okay, Manitin. Mishenital Aron, Eben Haitasha Lot Nevim Rishonim, Uftia Haitanik Reid. So when the Aron was taken, and the Gemara is going to say, it sounds like, according to this Tana, the Aron was not Nigna, because they learned that according to some opinions that it did. But Mishenital, that it was taken, so it sounds like this time of this Mishnah holds that the Aron was taken. But there was a stone from the time of Nevi'im Rishonim, and Rashi says Nevi'im Rishonim is David and Shmuel. He says, and it was called Shtia, like the foundation stone. And this stone, a lot of people think, is what's in the mosque. There's a stone in the mosque on the Har Abayit, and they think that's the Evan Shtia. All right, so let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so he says, Gavom and Arach Shlosh Etzvot. It was above the ground, three Etzvot, slightly above the ground. And on that rock, that's where he would put the shovel with the coals and then apply the Ketoret to it. Now, so he did the Ketoret, and he's done with the Ketoret. Now we're on going further with the service, okay? Now, Talad Hadam, Yimishayam Amare Spo. So now, if you remember, he left this bowl of bull blood with somebody who was busy stirring it. That was a while ago in the Seder Avodah. So now he goes back to that blood. He goes back to the same place that he had just been a few, right, in the Kodesh Kedashim. And he stood in the same place. He sprinkled one above and seven below, which we'll explain in a minute. So the Gemara is going to explain. We don't know what a lot of these terms mean. On Shabbos' daf, the Gemara at the end of tomorrow's daf, the beginning of Shabbos' daf, kamatzlif means that the person giving malkot. So the Gemara is, and there's different shatim that the Mefarshim have about that, but the way Rashi learns, matzlif is like when a person gives like straps to whip somebody, so you go one spot, then like lower, lower, lower. So he was hitting different spots. So it says, if you look in the Chumash, it says, let me see, where is it? Yeah, he says, that he'll sprinkle with his finger, al panei ha-kapor, it sounds like on top of the kapor. The kapor is the covering of the Aron. And then before the kapor, but the Gemara explains that he didn't really place the blood or on the kapor. It means like this: that the Gemara is going to explain, not today's daf, that the one drop of blood he would take with his hand palm upwards, the back of the palm to the ground, and then sprinkle one drop that way, and then seven drops with his hand dead down that way. Okay. And I think there's a picture here in the picture book. Okay, so Michael says page 100. That's not the picture I'm looking for. One second. Another picture. Here. I don't have time to look around for the picture, but 100 on the bottom? Let's see. No, it's not the picture I'm looking for. It's not the one I'm looking for. Here it is. Page 103. See, 103 on the bottom. That's with the finger up. and then 104 on the top with the finger down. Okay, and here I'll try to show you. Here's one picture. Okay. In other words, he's in the Kodesh Kedashim. He's facing the Aron. He's holding the bowl of blood. He takes the blood. He sprinkles one towards the Aron, or when there's no Aron, it's just like, you know, forward, and then seven times down below that. Okay, we got to keep moving. We're running out of time. Okay, let's see back in the Mishnah. So he says, so one palm upwards towards the sky, and seven with the palm facing down. He would try to do it like a matzlif. It's like a person who's like whipping. You go one, then another one. In other words, he's not trying to hit the Aron, but he's doing like a matzlif. And as he would count, you all know this from the davening. I assume Sfarim have it also. Achad, he does one. That was the one up. Achad v'achad, then he's got one and one. Achad v'shtayim, achad v'shalosh, achad v'arba, achad v'chamesh, achad v'shesh, achad v'sheva. Yasabi nicho al kanas hav shebehechal. So then, when he's done with the blood, with the par blood, at least this part, he puts it on a stand that was in the heichal. And they have a stand here, I think, somewhere. Does it have a picture with the stand? Yeah, on page 99, I think we have one. Okay, so 99, we have stands here. You can take a look. Stand. All right. Anyway, so he says, if you load a seir, then they bring him the seir, is the goat. Shechato. Now again, this is all considered part of the same avodas pnim. Remember, we said he's got five change of clothes. This is the same, you know, big day body he's wearing. If you load a seir, shechato b'tzibil b'mizrachet demo. Now he's back outside the heichal. They bring him the goat. Shechato. He shechs it, and he did kabbalah sadam in the mizrach in the bowl. Nichlas the makom shenichnas. Then he takes that blood. He goes back into the kodesh kedashim. He stands in the same place. Again, he does this, the eight sprinklings of blood. Then he goes and he puts it on the second stand in the heichal. So again, in this picture book, I don't know if you can see it, but they show there's two stands here. Can you see, Fern?
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Okay. And you see as well, right? You got it. Okay, so he's got two stands with two bowls of blood. That's what he's got. Now back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda Omer Lo Yasham Elatana Chad Bobad. Rabbi Huda says if there's only one stand, he says so. If there's one stand, he can't leave both there. So what he does is Natal Dam Hapar Biniyach Dam Hasair. So he's coming out. He just finished with the Dam HaSeir. So he's going to put the Dam HaSeir in the stand and pick up the Dam HaPar. Now he's sprinkling towards the curtain. I think this was the picture. That's the picture that Michael had said originally. He's sprinkling towards the curtain. He's not in the Kodesh Kedashim. He's in the Kodesh. And one and seven. And he didn't have one up or did one down. The Tal Dam HaSeir, this is still within the sheet of Tan Rabbi Huda. Now he takes the he did the Dam Par and Dam Seir in the Kodesh Kedashim. Now he did Dam Par in the Kodesh. Now he wants Dam Seir in the Kodesh. So according to Tan Rabbi Huda, there's only one stand. So now Tal Dam HaSeir, he takes the bucket with the goat blood, the Niyach Dam HaPar. He puts the Par blood down. Just, so then he sprinkles again towards the parochet. So the idea is he sprinkles bull blood inside the Kodesh Kedashim. He sprinkles goat blood in the Kodesh Kedashim. He sprinkles bull blood in towards the parochet, and he sprinkles the goat blood towards the parochet. Then he radam ha'par v'tok dam ha'seir. He takes the bowl with the bull blood. He pours it into the bowl with the goat blood. And then he puts it back the other way. He wants to mix the blood both. Okay, let's keep moving. We have very few minutes left. Okay, six lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Mishinignaz lo katani elam shinigtal. So the Mishnah doesn't say in the first line, Mishinignaz aron, when the aron was hidden away, it says Mishinigtal aron, the aron was taken. So tanan kimadamar aron galal babel. So our Mishnah is learning, according to the opinion, says that the aron was taken to Babel, the Babylonian. He says, "Tani, we learn the Brisa. Reb Lezer Aron Galal Babel. Reb Lezer says that the Aron was taken to Babel. Remember, we learned yesterday and we've learned elsewhere that some say that Yoshiyahu was donated, but there's not learning this way. Aaron Galil to Babel, Shinemar, Ushuvara Shalach Amel Kaducha Netzar, Vayivyeu Babel, Im Klei Chemdat Beit Hashem. At the turn of the year, so Nebuchadnezzar summoned, he brought Jehoiachin, who was one of the last kings, to Babel, Im Klei Chemdat Beit Hashem. With the kalim, the vessels, the precious of Chemdat Beit Hashem, the most precious vessels from the Beit Hashem. So, Klei Chemdat Beit Hashem. How does he translate Chemdat Beit Hashem? Okay. So he says, Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, Aaron Galal Babel. Rabbi Shimon Yochai also says that Aaron went to Babel, Shinemar, Lo Yivater Davar Amar Hashem. Nothing will remain. Davar. No Davar will remain. Elu Aseret HaDibrot Shabo. So he learns Davar is an allusion to the Aseret HaDibrot. So everything's going to Babel. So now two opinions that went to Babel. A third opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, and some have been lockish and some leave it out. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Aaron Mekomo Nignaz. The Aaron was Nignaz, was hidden away in its place. Shinemar, Vayra'u Rashaya Badim and HaKodesh Alpanei HaDibir, Lo Yeruach Utsa. This pasuk is in Malachim when they dedicated the base of Mikdash, that the heads of the bottom on the poles, the staves that were attached to the Aaron, so they you could see them in HaKodesh Alpanei HaDibir. In other words, they would stick into the Dibir as the wall, but they couldn't be seen on the outside. They remain there till this day. So what Ada Yom HaZeh means, so it means like forever, Ada Yom HaZeh. Whenever you read it, it's Ada Yom HaZeh, but you'll see in the Gemara tomorrow, we'll discuss what the meaning is, Ada Yom HaZeh. So Upli Yidu'ula. So here we quoted that Rav Shimon Yochai says that it was Galil Babel. We said in the Brisa of Rav Lezer and Rav Shimon Yochai that it was Galil Babel. Upli Yidu'ula. But this opinion of Rav Shimon Yochai is in contradiction to what Ula says. He says, the Amar Ula, Sha'al Rabbi Machi ben Charash, Rabbi ben Yochai, the Romi, that Rabbi Machi ben Charash asked Rabbi ben Yochai in Romi. In other words, that Rabbi ben Yochai went to Rome, and they said in one of the Gemara said that he went to Rome, the Gemara Me'ila says he went to, like, on behalf of the Jewish community in Eretz Israel. I remember that they had that incident where they saw the parochet and they saw the drops of blood on the parochet. So he says, but it's interesting they were in Rome. He says, "V'chima parash Rablezer Malamdenu Pamri Shona Shnia Aron Galil Babel." He says, "This is part of the statement." He says that since Rablezer teaches us based on two psukim that the Aron went to Babel, so the Gemara says, "Wait, what are the two? I don't know two." So the Gemara says, "Rishon had the Aron. The first one is Vayivu Babel in Kleichem Tapei Hashem." That they brought Jehoiachin to Babel with the kalim that were, you know, the precious kalim from the God's house. Shniyamayi, what's the second pasuk that shows that it went to Babel? So the theme by Yitzemi Batzion, Kaplan and Dalamal, Kol Hadara, that all the glory left Sion, my Kol Hadara, he says Chadra. In other words, I could substitute the hay for a chet. You know, it was that which was hidden, but Rashi says, the Ganuz Bechadre Hadarim went there. So Atamaya Tomer. So what do you, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, how do you hold? So according to this is what the Ula is quoting. He says, Amar Lo, now this Rav Shimon Yochai says, Shani Omer Arom Komo Nignas. I say the Aron was Nignas in the Makom. Shnemar by Rifu by David Gomer. He says at the bottom we're there, and he says by you. So he says, Amar Li Rabal Ula my Mashma. So how do you see from that Pasuk that it was Nignas? The Fiba you shamara Yomazeh. Says by Yushamari Yomazer, so means even till today there. So there's a theory, so we said that the one Bryce in the quote of Yochai thing is Galil Babel, but Ula's opinion is not like that. It doesn't seem noise with that. Okay, let me just do just one or two things and that will be it for today. And I hope to see everybody on Shabbat. I think we're at 6:50 the Shabbat, 6:50 p.m. here. Okay. So let me just get okay. So all right, let me just do a few lines from this. So all right, we covered it somewhat, but we said that he has his tefillah, but it's in Aramaic. So why couldn't he say tefillah in Hebrew? So some say because of the translation of the pasuk, and you not say the pasuk by heart, but it's Rishon Yehuda. So therefore, he said it in Aramaic. But he says, if you look in the Rambam, Ram brings down this new sakh lashon kodesh, but he changes it from the pasuk. He says, "Lo yesh Rishon Yehuda." not Loyusur Shem Yehuda, but Loyusur Shem Beit Yehuda. So it could be he said Lashon Kodesh, but he was Mishana from the Nusach of the Pasuk. But the question is still there. So Chazal teach us, the person shouldn't ask his request in Aramaic, because the Malachi Ashari not Makhir here. In other words, all languages are good, but Aramaic is terrible. The Malachi don't understand Aramaic. You could say it's like Hebrew that's been like changed around, maybe that thing. So they don't go race that. So if that's the case, they can't help with the tefillah. So why did the Kohen Gadol say tefillah in Aramaic? Someone is saying that the Malachim certainly were not Messiah with the tefillah Kohen Gadol. So I'll teach us when the Kohen Gadol was only in the base of Mikdash Yom Kippur, even the Malachim didn't hang out over there. So, but to be Meir, how do you know the Malachim are Messiah? They have to be in the place where you're making the tefillah. In other words, when the Chazal teaches us that the Malachim help with the tefillah, who says where they are? You know what I mean? In Echinami, not in the base of Mikdash. So he gives different answers to this. So one shuba is the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol a tefillah siyachid or a tefillah sibur? So at first blush, you think it's tefillah siyachid, makes his own tefillah. But he says the Kohen Gadol, he's not working for himself, he's working for the whole sibur. And his tefillah is like the shliach tzibur. So Chazal teach us that if it's a tefillah from the tzibur, so then you can daven in Aramaic. And since the tefillah is tzibur, so you can daven that in Aramaic. Then he has another hesber. He says the Shaddai Arye writes that the proper answer to this question is based on Mikdash Zemakam Hashrat Shtina. That's where God's divine presence is found. And the tefillah there don't need any assistance of any malachim. Like Chazal teaches us in the second Shabbat on Daf Yud Aleph, that near the head of a chola, sick person, you could pray by Aramaic because the Shechina Shorah Sham. So I'm here, I'm in the base of Mikdash, the Shechina is certainly Shorah there. Now, he adds on that the Shlomo Melech was Mispalo when he built the base of Mikdash, the Gamal Hanachri, Uvavit Palelo Baidazeh, Achat Shema Shema in the Pong Shiftachah. So Shlomo Melech, when he dedicates the base of Mikdash, he says, if a Gentile comes and he prays, you should listen to his tefillah. And it says in Yeshaya, "Ki beiti beit tefillah yikarei olamim." Like my house is the house of all the nations. So Mistama, we don't think that all the goyim who are showing up are praying in Hebrew. So he says that any language you have is heard in God's house because of there. Then he says, points to this Yaakov, that not the Kohen is going, not the Malachim is going, the Zman is going. He wants to say that Maser Shmei Tshuva, you're allowed to say in Aramaic, because just like we said, a Tzibur could daven in Aramaic. The Gemara says that Tzibur Yachin, Maser Shmei Tshuva, the koach of that tefillah is like Tzibur Tzibur the whole year. So we could say that in these times, excluding Yom Kippur, there's no problem with davening Aramaic. Okay, so you don't need the help of Malachim. Okay, that's it for today. Let me just wrap it up. And recording, one second, let me go back. One second, I messed this up. Second floor is great, so. Thank you.